We begin the current daf Masechtas Brachos, daf Mem Beis. We begin on the top of the Amud, on the top line. The Gemara continues on the theme of the previous daf, which was discussing the proper bracha on pasabo bekisten, which are different baked goods, different shittos and rishayim in the place. It's a big machlokes. Some say it's a type of a pastry that has fruit inside of it, or it's a pretzel, but it's some type of a pastry that's not like bread, but it's still not a hadam. It's going to have its own bracha, generally of a mezainah. So the Gemara brings a story related to this. Rav Huna ochel tlesa rifter. Rav Huna ate 13 pieces of bread. In other words, that were pasa bo bekisten, that bread that comes with kisten again, whether that means packets or whether it means that it's hard, like pretzels, that he ate pasa bo bekisten, 13 of them, b'nei tlasa tlasa bekava, that each one had 3 ta'akav. In other words, around 24 eggs worth of this pasa bo bekisten. And he did not make birch samazen, as the Gemara said in the previous daf, that the phrase was ein ta'una bracha le'achreim, doesn't require bracha afterwards. In other words, it's just the bar nefashes, it does not require birch samazen. So Amalei Rav Nachman said to Rav Huna, ade kafna, that these things are used for hunger. In other words, such a large quantity of food that you can't exempt that from a bracha achreina. Rather, since you're eating such a large amount, you would have to make a birch samazen. And as the Gemara says, Elakol Sha'achem Koyman Lav Suda, that anything that other people would establish their meal on that, for example, that's where it comes into halacha regarding what the bracha achreina on pizza is, or it's a tzarach lavarch, then one would have to make a bracha. It's not just a snack, and that's the halacha of a person is eating a Danish, possibly for breakfast, that possibly he would have to make a birch samazen, because again, he's being kevei his suda, his breakfast on that. And that's why he told him that it's not proper that although you're eating pasabah bekistin, and it says that you don't require birchamazin after that, when you're being kaveya suda, there it's different and it does require. Similarly, the Gemara brings that Rehuda hava osik lelebrei, Rehuda was busy with his son, Bei Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva, that he was marrying into the household, the daughter of Rav Yehuda, the son of Chaviva. Aisu lekamayu pasabah bekistin, so it was brought in front of them, in front of the guests, these different pasabah bekistin, they had pretzels, they had different pastries. So Kiyasa, when Rabbi Yehuda came, Shaminu de Kumavar Chamaitzi, he heard everyone was making Chamaitzi on this possible Bekistan. Amalahu, my tzitzi de Koshimani, he was referring to the word Chamaitzi, what's this tzitzi that I'm hearing? Dilma Chamaitzi lechem in the arts, Kumavachisa, is it possible that you're making Chamaitzi on possible Bekistan? It's not Chamaitzi, it's not regular bread. I'm relaying, they said yes. The Tan Rebuna Amma Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, possible Bekistan, Mavarchan Allah Chamaitzi, that you make Chamaitzi on possible Bekistan, but Amma Shmuel, Lachar Rebuna, and Shmuel says that is the proper halacha. Amalahu, he said to them, "Ein halacha k'rebmuna itmer." It was said over in the name of Shmuel that the halacha is not like k'rebmuna. So Amalei, so they told him, "V'hamarhu da'amah mishmei de Shmuel." But you yourself said over in the name of Shmuel that lachmani is ma'arv mehen, that you can make an erev, which is a requisite of having a suda as an erev. You could use pasa b'bekisnin for it. Umavarchan la'amaitzi, that you make hamaitzi on it. So how can you say that that's not the proper bracha? So he answered, "Shani hasam de kaveh sudase alayu." There, it's different. When you make an erev out of it, or when I said you make hamaitzis, when you're establishing your meal in it, then it has a halacha like bread. But here in this case, where everyone's just eating as a snack, and you're not establishing your meal in that, then the proper bracha will not be hamaitzi, and rather it's going to be mezainis, and the bracha is alamichya. But again, if that's what we see from our sugya is that the quantity of the kaviyas of the suda, if a person is sitting out for a meal for it, then the bracha would be hamaitzi and berachas hamazon. But if it's less, then it's going to be mezainis and possibly alamichya. Again, this discussion is very much discussed in the Paiskim regarding mezainis rolls and pizza. What is the proper bracha rishayna and the bracha achreina, depending if it's going to be kaviyas suda on it. So the Gemara brings Rav Papa iklu lebe Rav Huna berer de Rav Nasna. Rav Papa went to the house of Rav Huna, the son of Rav Nasan, busted the garmisu desire after they finished their meal. So they brought him something to eat, so they already finished eating, and now they brought him some type of a dessert. Shakal Rav Papa, v'kalach Rav Papa went, and he took it and he ate. So Amrilei, they said to him, gomar asim, don't you hold to the halacha that once someone has finished eating, then it's forbidden for him to eat until he benches birch samazin, and then he goes ahead and makes a new bracha on what was brought before to him. And the reason is, since the meal was ended, so he was already masiach das, he already, so to speak, removed his das, his rotzen, his intent to continue eating. So his first bracha, rishon from the beginning of the suda, is not there anymore. So therefore you would have to first make a bracha achreina and then make a new bracha rishon on what was being served. So why did he go ahead and eat over here without making a new bracha? Amalahu silek itmer. The halacha was said regarding if the table, the whole meal was removed, and not just if the food was finished. So therefore, if the bread and all the food was removed from the table and still they didn't make a bracha, then it would be asr to eat. However, here where we just finished eating and the food is still on the table, I do not have to make a new bracha. The Gemara brings a story related to this, that Rav Reb Zeira Iklul Beresh Galusa. Labasa Desliku Taka Mekamaya, after their table was removed from them, so they already had Silik, not only did they finish eating, but even the table was taken away. Shadri Lahu Ristinam Beresh Galusa. Then a portion was sent from the house of Resh Galusa. There were many different rooms, and they were in a different area, and then a portion was sent from the house of Resh Galusa. Rav Achol Reb Zeira Layachol. Rav continued eating, and Reb Zeira didn't eat. So Amalei, so Reb Zeira said to Rava, Leisavol Amar Silak Asim Alecha, don't you hold to the halacha that was said that if the food and the table is taken away, then you're not allowed to continue eating without first benching and then making a new bracha. So Amalei, so I said to him, here it's different. Anan Ataka de Resh Galusa Samchina. We are dependent on the table of the Resh Galusa. In other words, although generally when we remove the table, it's considered the ending of the meal, our removing the table is not considered a removal. Because our intent, our das, is if that's going to be sent, if the meal is still continuing from the Resh Galusa, we're still going to eat. And that is the host is the one that depends, he decides when the meal ends, not the guest. So therefore, we see from our sugya, it's not just when you finish the meal, but it's when you remove the bread or the table that then the meal ends. However, if a person's a guest, it's not, even if he removes his food, it's not over until the host says it's over. And that's why the Resh Galusa sent it, he was able to continue eating. The Gemara continues on this about when is the meal over, so to speak, that then one cannot continue eating and would have to bench first and then make a new bracha. Amarav, Harogel B'Shem, if someone's accustomed to oil, that he would anoint his hands after he would eat, Shemen Ma'akvoy, so then the oil holds him back. In other words, regarding a bracha, that even if he already finished and he removed all the food, but he didn't yet, so to speak, anoint his hands with oil, then the suda is still going on and he could continue eating without a bracha because his meal didn't end yet. Similarly, the Gemara brings Amar Avashi, Kavina B'Rav Kahana Amalon. We were at the house of Kahana. He told us, Kugoyin Anan, Duragilin Ben Mishcha, for example, us, that we're accustomed to anointing our hands with oil, Mishcha Ma'akvalon, the anointing holds us back, and therefore, if we didn't do that yet, although the table and the food was removed, the meal is not over and you could continue eating. So now the Gemara concludes, V'les Hilchasaka Kalhani Shmaitza. The halacha is not like all these teachings that we learned up until now. That is, the end of the meal does not depend not when you finish eating, not when you remove the food or the table, not with the anointing of the oil. Rather, it depends on mayim achronim, the later waters which are washed at the end of the meal before one benches, that as long as the person did not wash mayim achronim, even though all the other things already happened already, he's still permitted to eat. But once he washes mayim achronim, then it would be forbidden for him to eat, even if, let's say, a great dessert is brought out until he benches and makes a new bracha. As the Gemara says, El kihod amar Reb Chiya bar Ashi amar Rav, that he said the following statement, Sholish Tekifer saying, there are three things that are immediate, that have to be consecutive, one right after the other. Tekev l'smicha shchita, that immediately after one does shmicha, that he leans on his animal that he's bringing as a carbon, then the shchita, the slaughtering, has to happen. The second immediate is tekev l'geula tefila, that immediate after one says the parashas of Gol Yisrael and the Birchas Krishma, right after, a person is not allowed to interrupt and has to say Shemayin Esrei, right? And the third one is the one that we're alluding to, is a tekev l'natil zudayim bracha, that immediate after washing one's hand of mayim achronim, then one has to immediately make the bracha of birchas hamazon. That's when the meal ends, and that is a person cannot eat until he makes a birchas hamazon and makes a new bracha on the food that was brought out. So the Gemara says a fourth thing. Amar Abaye afa anu naima. We also will say that tekev l'tamid chacham bracha, the immediate to the Talmud Chacham, that if someone brings the Talmud Chacham close to him, or he hosts him in his house, then immediately will come bracha, will come blessing in his house. Shenem, as it says in the Pasuk, V'yivachayni Hashem b'glalecha, that Lavan told Yaakov, that Hashem blessed me because of you, that right when he took in Yaakov as a guest, for all the years that he was in his house, he got blessed because of him. That's tekif for the Talmud Chacham is bracha. Ibai Seema, or another source for that idea is Mehocha from this Pasuk Shenem, as it says, V'yivarach Hashem es beis ha-mitzri b'glal Yosef, that Hashem blessed the house of the Mitzri in reference to Potiphar because of Yosef that was there. So therefore, and that's where we see that immediate after Talmud Chacham is a blessing. So that is the halacha, that Mayim Achronim is what ends the meal, not after you finish eating, not after, so the place can discuss, share malice, but ultimately it's the Mayim Achronim, and that's what ultimately ends the meal, and then one would not be able to eat until he benches and makes a new bracha rishayim. So now we continue with the next Mishnah, which continues about the brachas that are said at a meal. So that is, the minhag used to be, the custom was that they would bring before the eating a cup of wine to drink. As the Braisa brings on Daf Mem Gimel, that what was the order that they used to do at their meals. So they would come and they would recline and they would bring in front of them different parperois, which were different appetizers to get them, so to speak, in the mood of eating. for example, pargiot, which is a type of partridge meat and fish, and then afterwards they would bring the table, and then after they finished the meal, they would still sit there and they would drink and they would eat. And what would they eat after the meal? That would be also called papyrus, which were different types of desserts. There were sort of like these kisni that were good for the heart, and different lachmaniot, which are different types of pastries. And they would, that's with wine and papyrus. So that's when it refers to in our Mishnah that there is certain wine, there's yain and papyrus before the meal. And yain papyrus after the meal, that although the wine and papyrus came after the meal, everything is talking about before birch samaz. So, but that's what we're going to see. We're going to have a discussion about what is the halacha regarding brachas. Again, there was wine and appetizers, which are papyrus, before that you started the meal. And there was wine and papyrus, which are desserts, after the meal. And we're going to see how it relates to the halachas of brachas related to the Suda. So the Mishnah begins. Berech ala yayin shalifnei amazn. If someone made a bracha on the wine which was before the meal, so that potres ayayin shalach amazn, that exempts the wine which comes after the meal, because their custom was that they didn't really drink during their eating, only before the meal and after the meal. So if you made a bracha of berei pri agafen before the meal, so then that exempts the bracha. You don't have to make a new bracha on wine after the meal. Berech apal parperes shalifnei amazn. If a person made a bracha on the parperes, which is the appetizers that come before the meal, potes the papyrus shall achamaz, and that exempts the papyrus, which are the desserts that come after the meal. Baruch ala pas. If someone makes a bracha on the pas, it makes some mitzi. That's potes the papyrus. That exempts the dessert that comes after the bread. Ala papyrus. If someone made a bracha on the appetizers which come before the bread, loy potes the pas. That does not exempt the bread. Beshamayomim af loy maisikadera. And not even the porridge. So the Gemara is going to explain what is this going on when it says that not even the porridge. What statement of the Mishnah is he arguing on? Then the Mishnah continues, Hayu Yoishvin, if let's say the people by the meal were sitting, in other words, they weren't reclining on beds as they used to do, that they were reclined on their left side on the bed, and they would eat and drink reclining. So let's say they were just sitting. Then Kolechad Mevarach L'Azmi, everyone makes his own bracha, because there's no establishment for the meal, because they're not reclining, that's not considered kviyas together. Hesebur, if they're all reclining, then Echad Mevarach L'Kul, then one person makes a bracha for everyone, because they're, so to speak, considered a joint meal, once they're reclining, so then they're all together in it, so one person can make a bracha for everyone. Now we continue on to Amud Beis. Bolehem yain b'toich hamazon. If wine comes in the middle of the meal, and the Gemara is going to explain the what's the pshat in this halacha, that kol echad ve'echad mevarach l'asma, everybody makes his own bracha. And this is in spite of the fact that they're reclining and they're all together in the meal. Still, if wine comes in the middle of the meal, everyone makes their own bracha. Achar hamazon, if wine comes after the meal, then echad mevarach l'kulam, one person makes a bracha for everybody. This same individual that made the bracha for everyone for the wine after the meal, he's the same person that makes the bracha on the incense, because their custom used to be that what they would bring after the meal, they would bring this type of spices, they would put on the fire in different pans for a good smell, and they would make a bracha of bari atzeh besamim. The person that made the bracha already started with one bracha of the wine, he's the same one that makes the bracha on the incense. As the Mishnah concludes, and this is in spite of the fact that the incense is not brought until after Birchas Hamazon, that it's not part of the Tzarchi Sud, it's not considered as one of the components of the meal. Still, in spite of that, the one that made the bracha on the wine, and he started the later brachas, although that was before benching, he completes and he makes the bracha on the incense, which comes after the meal. So now the Gemara explains our Mishnah. Amar Rabba Barachana Rabbi Yechanan. Lo Yishonu, we didn't learn this first halacha in our Mishnah, that wine from before the meal exempts the wine after the meal, only if it's on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And what's the reason? Since a person establishes his meal on Shabbos and Yom Tov on wine, that is, a person has time, so to speak, and he intends to have this Oynik Shabbos and Yom Tov, that he's going to sit after the meal and drink. So therefore, when he made a bracha before the meal, he had in mind already that he's going to drink the wine after the meal. So it's included his das in that bracha already. But every the rest of the year, you would have to make a bracha on every single cup, because it's like as if you're reconsidering and that you're starting your drinking again by every single one. So therefore, the bracha before the meal will not exempt the bracha on the wine after the meal. And not only that, you'll have to make a bracha on every single cup you drink, because you don't have a mind. You say, okay, let me have a cup, and they say, you know, let me have another cup. So therefore, the bracha is not chal on it. Similarly, the Gemara says that Amar Rabba Amar Amar Rishum Levi. Leishana, we did not learn this halacha that the wine before the meal exempts the wine after the meal, only on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And he adds a few other situations which are similar to that, that one has in mind to establish his meal on wine. And that is when the person leaves the bathhouse, when a person lets blood, And the reason for all these different things are since a person establishes his meal on wine because he's weak from the bathhouse or from letting blood, or Shabbos because he wants to celebrate Shabbos and Yom Tov. But every other day of the year, then you would have to make a bracha on every single cup. The Gemara brings a story related to this halacha that Rabbi Bar Mori ikul lebei Rava b'chol. The Rabbi Bar Mori went to the house of Rava during a weekday. Chazi the bracha lefnei amaz, and he saw that he made a bracha on the wine before the meal. B'chol the bracha l'achamaz, he made another bracha on the wine after the meal, in spite of the fact that our Mishnah says that it's exempted from the first one. So Amalei Yishrei says that you should be strengthened. In other words, you did right. B'chinam Rishu Malevi, and that's what Rishu Malevi says that a person should do, as we said, that it's only on Shabbos and Yom Tov that the wine before the meal exempts the wine after the meal. But a regular weekday is like you would consider, and therefore you would have to make a new bracha on the wine after the meal. Now the Gemara brings a different story that says that it would depend. That is, Rav Yitzchak by Yosef Ikel be Abaye be Yom Tov. He went to the house of Abaye and it was on Yom Tov. So Chazi the bracha kol koyse be koyse, so that he was making a bracha on every single cup of wine. So Amalei leisavala mar lahadir b'shub ben Levi. Don't you hold to this halacha b'shub ben Levi that on Yom Tov a person is not considered that he reconsiders? Rather, he's considered that the meal, the bracha on the wine before the meal exempts the one after, and therefore you don't have to make a new bracha on every single cup of wine. So Amalei nimlacha, no, I'm different. I reconsidered. In other words, I am not usual that I establish my meal on the wine even on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And therefore, although it's Yom Tov, I would have to make a new bracha because my das is not on a later cup of wine. I would have to make a new bracha on every single cup of wine. So therefore, we see that our Mishnah that says that your potter, again, is only when there's a certain das, for example, on Shabbos. But on the weekday, or if even an individual that reconsiders on Yom Tov, would have to make a new bracha on the wine after the meal. So now, related to our Mishnah, the Gemara says, Yiboylu, they've asked the following question. Bo'olehem yayin b'toich ha-mazon, if wine comes in the middle of the meal, and that is before the meal, wine had not come. So it just came, coming late, they didn't come, they started the meal, wine finally came. So the question is, Ma'o sheyifta seyayin shel achamazon? What is halacha if the wine that was made a bracha on the middle of the meal, will that exempt the wine after the meal? So the Gemara follows through on the logic related to the halacha from our Mishnah. Im tim tzolem, if you want to come and bring a proof from our Mishnah that berich al yayin shel lifnei hamazon, that we find in our Mishnah that the wine before the meal, that it exempts the wine after the meal. So therefore you see that the earlier wine exempts the later one. So therefore here also, when it comes to the middle, it should exempt the wine after the meal. Maybe not. Because in the case of our Mishnah, the wine before the meal and the wine after the meal are both for drinking purposes. That's the main purpose of the wine. But here, when the wine comes in the middle of the meal, generally we don't drink wine in the middle of the meal. The only reason why we do is lishrois is, so to speak, to soak the food that's inside of it. So therefore, it wouldn't be a raya from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah's case is a case when they're both for drinking. But when it comes in the middle of the meal, where it's just, so to speak, to soak the food that's in his stomach, and it's because the, and again, that's the reason why they weren't customary to drink in the middle of the meal, just a little bit, so to speak, to let it settle, the food, maybe there would not exempt the wine that's just for drinking purposes, which comes after the meal. Maybe the Gemara says maybe it doesn't make a difference. So you made a bracha by paragafen on the wine in the middle of the meal, although it's not for your intent for drinking, it's just to help the food settle. Still, you made a bracha and it would pater, it would exempt the wine that comes after the meal. So the Gemara brings that this was greatly debated and many different amiram had different opinions to it. Rav Amar Poter, Rav says it does exempt. Rav Kahana Amar Eina Poter, Rav Kahana says it doesn't exempt. Rav Nachman Amar Poter, Rav Nachman says it does exempt. Rav Sheshesh Amar Eina Poter says it does not exempt. Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda v'chol Tamid de Rav Amar Eina Poter and Rav Huna and Rav Huda and all the Tamidim of Rav, they say that it does not exempt. So there's a big machlokes whether it exempts or it doesn't. So the Gemara asks on one of the opinions, on the one that says that it does exempt, Eitzrei Rav Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said that it exempts. The wine in the middle of the meal exempts the wine after the meal. But we learned in our Mishnah, it said, Bolehem yayin metoich hamazon, if wine comes in the middle of the meal, kol echad ve'echad mevarach la'atzma, everyone makes their own bracha. And then it said, la'achar hamazon, the wine after the meal, echad mevarach la'kum, one person makes a bracha for everybody. So now the Gemara thinks that what it's saying is that when wine is brought for the second time, which is after the meal, then one person is making a bracha for everyone. But it already said that in the middle of the meal, everyone made their own bracha in the middle of the meal, and still we see we're requiring a new bracha after the meal. So it's not like you that we see it does not exempt. So Amalei HaChakam says, no, this is the way you're supposed to read the Mishnah. The second phrase was saying that if wine did not come in the middle of the meal, ela la'achamos, and only after the meal, so this is the first time it's coming, then echad mevarach l'kum, then everybody, then one person makes a bracha for everyone. Therefore, it's not a question from that phrase. It's not talking about that it was one case. It's two different cases. If wine did not come in the middle, then it comes at the end, then one person can make a bracha for everyone. Whereas when it comes in the middle of the meal, everyone has to make their own bracha. So again, there's a machlekes, if wine that comes in the middle of the meal, if it's any different because it's lishris, it's just to help the food settle, if that will exempt the wine that comes after the meal. So now the Gemara returns to our Mishnah that said, Berech ala pas, patas baperes. So if you made a bracha on the bread, so that exempts the dessert that comes afterwards. Ala baperes le patas baperes. If you made a bracha on the appetizer, that does not exempt the bread. And then we had the enigmatic statement of Bishamai. The Bishamai said, Bishamai oimrim afli maisa kedir. Bishamai said that even not a maisa kedir, even not a porridge. So the Gemara questions, Iboilahu. Bishamai areisha pligi, oidilma sefer pligi. There's two statements that the Tanakhama said. Again, one regarding bread exempting the dessert, and one regarding dessert not exempting the bread. And Bishamai says that even not a porridge. What does that mean? So the Gemara explains. The Kama Tanakhama, the Dista the Tanakhama said, Berich ala pas, potas ala peres, that if you make a bracha on the bread, so that exempts the dessert, that is, although it's not from the tzarchi, so it's not a necessary ingredient, so to speak, a food item for the meal. It's not being used to fill up the stomach, rather it's just to end the meal. Still, the bread will include that and will exempt the dessert. And v'kolshke maisa keder, and what's included in the statement of the Tanakhama is that definitely that a porridge, a maisa keder, will be potter, that because that's being eaten as for mamish, for mezainis, as for a sustenance that's really part of the meal, so that's for sure included in the bread. V'asa b'sham alameim, and that's what b'sham is coming to say, that lo'im b'boi paperis to le'potter lupas, that not only does the bread not exempt the dessert because that's not part of the meal, it's just, so to speak, as a sweetness, and therefore it's not, so to speak, a tuffle to the bread, and therefore it would require its own bracha. Bisham was saying that even porridge, which is mazon, it's, so to speak, it's a staple of the meal, even that the bread won't exempt because it's not eaten as, so to speak, as a condiment. It's not eaten together with the bread. It's eaten on its own. Is that what Bisham was saying? Or maybe Bisham was arguing on the second statement. The Tani that we learned, the Tanakhama said, Berech al paperes leparta zapas. If you make a bracha on the appetizer, that does not exempt the bread. So the diik is, the insinuation is that pasulu leparta, that making a bracha on the appetizer does not exempt the bread that comes later in the meal, of a maisa kedera pater, but regarding a porridge, something that's not as chashiv as bread, that the appetizer would exempt. And that is, it would be the same bracha, so to speak, of mezainis. And that's what Bisham is coming to say, that the appetizer is not only not, it's not going to exempt the bread, it's not even going to exempt a porridge or maisa gedera that one eats during the meal because of the papers. So the Gemara says, Taker, it's not clear, again, what Bisham was arguing on. Was he arguing on the ratio? Was he arguing the sefer? What did his statement mean when he says that, and not only that, but it's not going to even to include a maisa gedera? Is it going on the statement of that bread exempts the papyrus, or the papyrus not exempting the bread, which has two different conclusions? It's not clear which one he was arguing on. Now the Gemara returns to our mission that says, Hayyashmi kol echad ve'echad v'chulu. If everyone was just sitting, so then they said that everyone has to make their own bracha. If everyone was reclining, then one person can make a bracha for everyone. So we see this fundamental difference between if everyone's sitting, or if everyone's reclining, that reclining is considered a kaviya suda, that they're all having a joint meal. So the Gemara learns this and says, Hesebu in lo, Hesebu lo, is that true? That only if everyone's reclining, then one person can make a bracha for everyone, but if they're not reclining and they're just sitting, they're not? But Raminu, there seems to be a contradiction. We learned, it says, Asar shal yehocha madech, there were 10 people going on the road, afa pishakulam oichlam mekikar echad, even if everyone's eating from the same loaf of bread, kol echad v'echad mebarach lasam, everyone makes his own bracha. However, Yashu Lechel, if they sat to eat, they stopped going, then even if everyone's eating from their own loaf of bread, one person makes a bracha for everyone. So Ketani, we learned, Yashu Av Bishle Yisebu, it says that if they sat to eat, even if they didn't recline, we see that one person could make a bracha for everyone. So Amrav Nachman BeYitzchak, it depends, it's on this, that's a certain type of case. Kugina Amrit says, it's in talking about a case, when they said the following phrase, Nezle v'neich lachma v'duch plan, let us go and eat bread in that place. And that is, they established beforehand the place where they're going to eat. Therefore, that's considered kvias, that's considered establishing it as a joint meal. But if they just happen to be sitting together in one place, that's not a kvias unless they're reclining. As our Mishnah, then it would be considered. But our Mishnah that said that yashvu, that sitting is not considered kvisu, that just as they just happen to be sitting. No one said, let's sit, let's make lunch together, let's do dinner. But if they say, let's do dinner, then even if they're not reclining, that's enough of a kvias, that's enough of a chalois to be considered a kvisu. As the Gemara brings a story related to this. Kinach nafshi de Rav, when Rav passed away, Ozlu Tamid Basre, his Tamidim went after him because they had buried him in a different city. Kihaji, when they were coming back, Army, they said, Nezlo b'necha lachma an har dank. They said, let's go eat a meal of bread by the river dank. Busted the karchi after that they ate their meal. Yashivu kamabayli, they were sitting and clarifying the following question. When it says in our Mishnah, Hesebu, davkatnan, did it mean necessarily that only if you're reclining could one person make a bracha for everyone and exempt them? Abu Yashivu loy, but if you're just sitting not? Or maybe because we said, let us go, and we all joined together in one idea, and we said, let's eat bread in this place, then the sitting has the same halacha, so to speak, as reclining. And therefore, although it said in our Mishnah that if you're Yoishvim, that then one person cannot make a bracha for everyone, that was talking about when you didn't designate beforehand the exact place. That's not a kvias, but us that we said, let's sit over here, and we, so to speak, prepared it beforehand, that would be kvias, and one person can make a bracha for everyone. That was the question they posed. So the Gemara says, lehavi b'yadayu, they didn't have an answer. No one knew the answer. So come Rav Adar Bar Hava got up, and we continue on to the top of Mem Gimel Mad Alef. Ahadu Kara L'Achareh, he went and he took his kriya that he had ripped his shirt because of mourning for the passing of Rav. He went and turned it to the back of his body. But Kara Kriyachin, now he had, so to speak, a clean part in the front, and he tore that again. And that is, although he had already ripped kriya for the mourning of his Rebbe, he went ahead and he turned his shirt around, and now what was behind is in front, so that he could rip again to show that now the mourning is just like the day when he died, because now they need to have a hero, they need to have a psak din, and no one knew what to do. So Amar Noch Nafshi de Rav, so he says, that Rav passed away, Ubirchis Mezoin L'Gabrin, we don't even know the halachas regarding Birchis Amazon, we don't know what the proper thing is to do if one person can make for everyone or not. Until that elder came, which the Rishonim say means Eliyahu HaNavi, Ramaluhu Masnit Na Braisa, he posed this contradiction that we had before between our Mishnah and the Braisa. If it's, as our Mishnah says, that Yashvu, one person cannot make for everyone, whereas when we saw then the 10 people coming together, and Yashvu Lachal, that one person could make for everyone, so is Yashvu a kvirs or not? Rishonim, they gave the following answer, as we said before, that Kivin Da Amri Nezel V'Nechel Lachma B'doch Plan, since we said that let's go and eat bread in the following place, that is as if they're reclining and has the same halachic status as a kviya suda, as establishing it together. And therefore, one person can make a bracha for everyone, dafka, either if there's a kviya, and that would be either if everyone's reclining together, or even if they're not reclining and they're just sitting, but they said, let's go sit here, they were kvei before, and the place where they're going to sit, that would be included in the criteria of a kviya suda, and one person would be able to make a bracha for everyone, even if they're just sitting and not reclining.